God bless you, Yedidim, and shalom, beloved ones. Join me as we go on a journey together, discovering how the writings in the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament connect.
Discovering the Jewish Jesus is shown in approximately 200 countries around the world, ministering the good news of the gospel to those in need.
Shalom, I'm Cynthia, Rabbi Schneider's wife. Beloved, we have testimonies coming in of God touching and transforming people's lives through this ministry. It's my prayer that today the Lord will touch and transform your life as Rabbi Schneider teaches and preaches God's word.
God bless you, Yedidim, and shalom, beloved ones. My name's Rabbi Schneider. Welcome to this edition of Discovering the Jewish Jesus. We're starting a brand new series today entitled Identity and Destiny from the book of Ephesians, chapters 1 through 3. In the past, you've heard me teaching out of the Tanakh, which we call the Old Testament. But today and for the next several weeks, I'll be teaching out of the New Testament. I want to say at the onset, beloved, that there should be no separation in our thinking between the writings of the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament and the writings of the New Testament, which we call in Hebrew the Brit Chadashah, which means the New Covenant Scriptures. You see, beloved, the Lord never intended us to have two different Bibles, the Old Testament and the New Testament, are part of the same revelation from the same God. It's just that it's progressive. As time has gone on, the Father has made His will more and more clear to us until it finally culminates in the person of Yeshua. This is why the Scriptures tell us in Hebrews chapter 1 that in times past, God spoke to us in many portions and in many ways through the fathers of the Hebrew Bible and through the prophets of the Hebrew Bible. But in these last days, He's spoken to us through His Son, who's the exact representation of His nature. So in times past, the Lord was speaking, but He spoke to us in full measure in the person of His Son. But it was all moving towards the same end. It's called, beloved, progressive revelation. And I need you to hear that the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament fit together, listen now, like a hand in a glove. So what I'm trying to do is to convey to you that as we go to the book of Ephesians, it's not that we're no longer in the Hebrew Bible. We're still in the Hebrew Bible, beloved, because the New Testament was also written by Israelites, with the possible exception of Luke. And some people tell us the old corny joke, we're not sure whether Luke was a Jew or not, but we think he is because he was a physician. I've heard that many times. It's really not funny. The point is, beloved, that the New Testament as well was written by Jewish people. I want to consider the Apostle Paul for a moment, the writer of the book of Ephesians, which we're going to study now. And I want to make the point of how Hebrew, how Jewish, how much of an Israelite he was, so that when we read the book of Ephesians, we don't so Christianize it that we lose, beloved, the Hebraic context of it. In the book of Philippians, chapter number 3, verse 5, Paul tells us a little bit about who he was. Let me read now from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Catch the Hebrew feel of this. I want you to understand, beloved, that when we read the New Testament, we can't view it from just our own lens. We have to understand it from the perspective of the person that wrote it. And the people that wrote the New Testament, beloved, were writing it out of a very Hebraic context. That's why Jesus said in John 4:22 to the woman of Samaria, He said, "Woman, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." And that's why Paul said, we're going to see in Ephesians chapter 2, that Gentiles have been grafted into the commonwealth of Israel. So reading the book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, Paul tells us a little bit about who he is. He says he was circumcised in verse number 5, the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. And then he calls himself, listen to this now, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Did you know, beloved, that at the end of Paul's life, at the very end of his life, when he was on trial for his life, beloved, after he had witnessed for Jesus all these years, after he had been thrown in prison for the Lord, do you know at the end of his life, you know what Paul said? He said to him in the book of Acts, chapter 23, verse 6, he said, "I am a Pharisee." Acts 23:6, at the end of Paul's life, he was still identifying himself as a Pharisee. He never saw himself as someone that stopped being Jewish, beloved. He saw himself as a follower of the promised Messiah of Israel. And so Paul describes himself in the book of Philippians, chapter number 3, verse 5, from the tribe of Benjamin, and again, get the next phrase, a Hebrew of Hebrews. And then he says, as to the law, he calls himself, in verse number 5 of Philippians 3, a Pharisee. So notice that Paul is still very much identifying himself as a Jew, as an Israelite, and as a Pharisee. I'm going to read that whole verse in its context now. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. And so are you starting to see how Jewish this is? A lot of times Christian people disconnect Jesus and the New Testament from its Hebraic foundation. But we can't do that, beloved. That's why the Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans, chapters 9 through 11, that we need to be very careful about disconnecting ourselves from the root, from the olive tree, which is the God of Israel, the covenants of Israel, the scriptures of Israel, and the Messiah of Israel. I'm trying to help you to understand, beloved, that when you read the New Testament, you're still reading a very Hebrew, a portion of God's Word. That's why in the book of Revelation, we read about going to heaven, and the heavenly city is called what? New Jerusalem, right? Whose gates are inscribed with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Are you starting to see this in a new light? A very Jewish and a very Israeli feeling to it. We continue in the sixth verse. Paul continued to describe himself, and he says, as to his zeal, he says he was a persecutor of the church. As to the righteousness which is in the law, he was found blameless. So he was saying, I'm a Jew, he said. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. And he begins to say, and I was really against this Jesus person. I was persecuting the church until Yeshua revealed himself to me and showed me that he is indeed the Messiah of Israel. I'm going to go now to the book of Acts, and I'm going to go to the 23rd chapter, and I'm going to read the 6th verse there. Paul was on trial here, and it says in Acts 23:6, but perceiving that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, see, because the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection from the dead. But the Pharisees did believe in the resurrection from the dead. Some of you, again, have heard that corny joke that the reason that the Sadducees were called Sadducees was because they didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see? I know it's not that funny, but I don't have that many jokes, so I got to throw those in that I do have. So once again, Paul is saying, Acts 23:6, as he was on trial, he says, perceiving that one part were Sadducees that didn't believe in the resurrection, and the other part Pharisees, Paul began crying out in the council, brethren, and listen to this. This is the end of Paul's life. Listen to what he cries out. I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees, and I am on trial for the hope of the resurrection of the dead. Are you seeing how Hebrew this is and how Jewish this is? I want you to also know, beloved, that we sometimes hear the erroneous teaching that when Yeshua met Paul, that Yeshua changed his name from Saul to Paul, that there was a name change. I want you to hear that Yeshua never changed Saul's name to Paul, but rather Paul was a Roman citizen with a Roman name, Paul, and he was also an Israelite and a Jewish person with a Hebrew name, Shaul or Saul. So he had two names. It's like my sister. My sister's English name is Susie, but all her Jewish friends call her Simcha, which means joy. That's her Jewish name. So Paul never had his name changed from Saul or Shaul to Paul. It just said he had a Hebrew name, Saul or Shaul, we would pronounce it in Hebrew, and he had a Greek name, Paul. We hear him being referred to more by his Greek name, Paul, because he was the ambassador. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, the book of Galatians tells us. And because he was an apostle to Gentiles, he used his Gentile name or his Roman name, Paul. But you know, when Yeshua appeared to Paul and brought him into the faith, Yeshua called him, beloved, by his Hebrew name. And so I'm once again looking at Paul's life in the book of Acts. And in Acts chapter 22, verse number 7, we read that when Yeshua appeared to Paul, I'm going to start actually in the 6th verse, Acts 22:6, and it came about, Paul's describing his conversion experience, it came about that as I was on my way, approaching Damascus about noontime, a very bright light suddenly flashed around from heaven all around me. And Paul says in verse 7, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, listen now, Saul, Saul, or Shaul, Shaul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus, or I am Yeshua the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. And listen, he speaks about this same event in the 26th chapter of the book of Acts. And listen what he says in the 14th verse as he was describing the same experience as he was before the king. He's giving his testimony to the king. And he says in the 14th verse of Acts 26, And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me, listen to what Paul says there. Saul says in the Hebrew dialect. I'm going to read it again. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect, Shaul, Shaul, or Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. And once again, he said, I said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, Yeshua, whom you're persecuting. So do you see, this is very Jewish. Paul's a Jew. He's a Pharisee. He never saw himself as becoming un-Jewish. He never felt like he had converted from Judaism to some other religion. Instead, he said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees we just saw earlier, that he said, I am a Pharisee, he said, and I'm on trial for the hope of the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. We read that Paul continued to celebrate the feast, beloved. He never lost his Jewish identity. He never stopped living like a Jewish person. He was not under the law, even as we're not under the law. But he still saw the beauty of God revealed in the law. That's why Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through 19, Jesus said, Don't think I've come to abolish the law and the prophets, for I've not come to abolish, but to fulfill. And everybody that teaches others how to live out of the concepts in the law of the prophets will be called greatest in the kingdom of God. We're not connected first to the law, beloved. We're connected to Jesus. But the glory of God and the beauty of God, the wisdom of God, the ethical nature of God is revealed in the law, and it's prophetic. And so Paul, for example, we read in the book of Acts, chapter number 20, verse number 6, that Paul was still celebrating the feast. So as I read Acts chapter 20, verse 6, I read this. Paul is speaking, and he says, And we sailed from Philippi after the days, listen now, of unleavened bread. So he was celebrating the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We get on to the 16th verse in that same chapter of the book of Acts, chapter 20, and here's what we read once again. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus in order that he might not have to spend time in Asia, get this now, for he was hurrying to be in Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost, which is called in Hebrew Shavuot. It was a Jewish holiday, Shavuot. And so he was in a hurry to get to Jerusalem to celebrate, beloved, Shavuot, as he had been doing his entire life. It also appears as we look in the book of Acts to try to understand the life of Paul and to bring out the Hebraic emphasis of the books that he wrote, beloved, in their connection to the Hebrew Scriptures. It appears that in the book of Acts, chapter 23, we glean that Paul, or Shaul's nephew, lived in Jerusalem in the 23rd chapter. Paul was not born in Jerusalem. Paul was born in Tarsus, but he was brought up in Jerusalem. And we read about this in Acts chapter 22, verse number 3. So as I read Acts chapter 22, verse 3, I'm reading this. Paul says here, I am a Jew born in Tarsus, but he says, but brought up in this city, speaking of Jerusalem. And then he says that he was educated, listen to this, under Gamaliel. Let me read it again. Acts chapter 22, verse 3. Paul says, I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, he's in Jerusalem now, and he says, and educated under Gamaliel, strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you all are today. Now this Gamaliel, beloved, his grandfather was the leading sage of Judaism. His grandfather was Hillel. So Paul was educated under the leading sage, beloved, of his day. So I want you to understand how Jewish and how Hebrew the New Testament is. And so as we're studying the book of Ephesians, it's not like Rabbi Schneider has suddenly gone from teaching out of the Hebrew Scriptures to teaching the New Testament, which isn't Hebraic. The New Testament is also Hebraic, and we need to understand it, beloved, from a Hebraic context if we're going to understand it properly. Unfortunately today, because of the division that the devil has brought to the church by blinding the church to her Judaic roots, many have read the New Testament through the filter of their own eyes without understanding the language, beloved, from the heart of the one that wrote it. And the heart of the one that wrote most of the New Testament, beloved, was the Apostle Paul, a Jewish person that wrote, beloved, with the Hebraic mindset. So to give you an example of this, many of us have heard of the Romans Road. And what we mean by this, it was a way that people used to witness in years past. And they would go through the book of Romans, and they would point out scriptures like all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and how Jesus died in our place, and so on and so forth. And they would go through the book of Romans to theologically show people that they had sinned, that they were guilty before God, that they needed a Savior, and that Jesus was the only way. And that's awesome. But listen, beloved, we need to understand the book of Romans not just from the eyes of our contemporary theology, not just to lead people to salvation, but we need to understand the book of Romans through the heart and the mind of Paul, who wrote it. And when Paul wrote the book of Romans, one of the things that was forefront on his mind, beloved, was the role of Israel and the salvation of Israel. That's why Paul, in chapters 9, 10, and 11 of the book of Romans, is focusing on Israel constantly. But many today, when they read the book of Romans, they don't understand the heart of Paul that wrote it. Listen to example, for example, to the book of Romans, chapters number 9, verse number 1. Paul says in 9, verse 1, he says, "I am telling the truth in Messiah. I am not lying, my conscience bearing witness in the Holy Spirit," listen to this now, "that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Messiah," listen now, "for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites." So Paul begins Romans chapters 9 by talking about how he's got great a burden in his heart for the salvation of Israel. And all of Romans 9, beloved, deals with the salvation of Israel. Now I flip the page and I go to Romans chapter 10. Listen to Romans chapter 10, verse number 1. Paul says in Romans 10, 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation." He's still lamenting, beloved, the salvation of Israel. So all of Romans 9 is about the salvation of Israel. Now we come to Romans 10. The first verse in Romans 10 is about the salvation of Israel. Now we come to Romans 11. Listen to Romans 11, 1. Paul says, "I say then, God has not rejected his people, has he? He says, may it never be, for I too am an Israelite." So you see, Romans 9, 10, and 11 is all about the salvation of Israel. The point that I'm making, you deep beloved ones, is that much of the Gentile church doesn't see the Hebraic nature of the New Testament. But when Paul wrote it, he very much saw it, beloved, as a Jewish writing. He very much had a Jewish heart. And God is wanting to restore the church to the church, his love for Israel, and the church's understanding of the New Testament from a Hebraic perspective. And so I'm speaking, beloved, all these words to you now to kind of set the stage for our study in the book of Ephesians, because when we go to the book of Ephesians, I want you to understand it, beloved, from a Hebraic perspective. So as we close this section, I want to just remind you once again that Paul did not have two names. He didn't have a Hebrew name, and then God changed it. Let me say it again this way: God did not change Paul's name from Saul to Paul, but Paul had two names. He was Shaul or Saul to the Hebrew people, and he was Paul to the Greeks. And because he was the apostle to the Greeks or the Gentiles, he became more known as Paul. But he still retained his Jewish heart. That's why he got to the end of his life, and he said, "I am a Pharisee." And he also said, beloved, the last comment that I want to make is Paul said that he was worshiping God in the same way. I'm reading now from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. And listen to what Paul says about himself here. "I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience," and listen to what he says, "the way my fathers did." He still saw himself as very much, beloved, part of the Jewish community. And so, as you study the New Testament now, I hope you'll understand that this is a Jewish thing, that God's not done with the Jews, but that rather you as a Gentile have been grafted in to the covenants that God made with Israel, as Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 2. Now, With that said, we're going to begin now our study in the book of Ephesians. We're going to just have some introductory comments to make. Please tell a friend about this broadcast. This series, beloved, An Identity and Destiny from the book of Ephesians, this will bless your socks off. So get ready to hear the word of God. The scriptures begin in Ephesians 1 with these words. Paul says, "Paul, an apostle of Yeshua HaMashiach, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus," and then he says, "who are faithful in Messiah Yeshua." He begins at verse number 2, "grace and peace to you from God our Father." You know, every time God shows up in the New Testament, in the writings of the letters of the epistles of Paul, you know what the first thing the Father always says to us is grace and peace. The first thing that Paul says, he introduces himself, and then immediately after that, listen what he says. "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from Yeshua HaMashiach." Do you know, beloved, that's what God's heart is towards us. Grace and peace to you. God's not mad at you, beloved. God doesn't have a stick hanging over you to clobber you. But rather, every one of Paul's epistles begins the same way. Every one of his letters begins the same way. Grace and peace to you. Father, I pray that you'll release right now, Father God, through your Spirit, a manifestation of your spirit of grace and shalom and peace to your people. Father, call them in, draw them in now to experience your heart of love, of grace, and peace to them. I'm going to read once more. "Grace to you and peace," shalom, wholeness, "from God the Father." This is Avinu Malchenu, from our God and our Father. Avinu Malchenu, our God and our King. "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach." And then it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of Yeshua HaMashiach." Beloved, why do we always begin by saying, "Blessed be the God and Father"? Because God is, beloved, the Blessed One. We begin all the prayers in the Jewish tradition by saying, "Baruch Atah Adonai." And what "Baruch Atah Adonai" means is, "Blessed art thou, O Lord our God." So you see, this is the way Paul starts out his letter here. Really, it's a Hebrew blessing. "Blessed be the God and Father." That's what we say. "Baruch atah Adonai." "Blessed art thou, O Lord our God." "Blessed be the God and Father of Yeshua HaMashiach." Beloved, blessing comes from God. He is the Blessed One. Yeshua said, if you seek first the kingdom of God, everything else will be added unto you. That he's a rewarder of those that seek him. So as we close today's broadcast, beloved, we're going to move into much deeper territory next week, but I need you to hear this. If you want to be blessed in your life, seek the Blessed One. There's only one Blessed One. Baruch atah Adonai. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God. Paul said, blessed be the God and Father of Yeshua the Messiah. In Yeshua's name, God bless you, you deed. Join me next week as we dig into the revelation contained in the book of Ephesians and we find our identity and destiny in him. Shalom, Yedidim, and God bless you, beloved ones. My name's Rabbi Schneider. Welcome to this edition of Discovering the Jewish Jesus. We're in the midst of a study now in the book of Ephesians. We're calling it Identity and Destiny from Ephesians 1 through 3. This is part number 2. I encourage you to get this entire teaching through our website or through the 800 number at the end of the broadcast. In last week's broadcast, I laid the foundation for the study by talking about the Hebraic foundation, beloved, of the book of Ephesians. I did that by showing you that Paul, beloved, was an Israelite, educated under the leading sage of his day, Gamaliel, born, beloved, from the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised the eighth day. At the end of Paul's life, I pointed out he still considered himself a Pharisee and believed, beloved, that he was worshiping God the same way his fathers had worshiped God. That he was simply, beloved, on trial, he said, for the resurrection of the dead. Paul saw himself as very Jewish, and he saw his message as very Jewish. And so I want to encourage you to get that entire teaching because it will really help you to understand Ephesians from Paul's perspective, from a Jewish perspective. Last week, beloved, I began and I talked about verse number 2. Let me read verse 2 for you. It says this, Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Yeshua HaMashiach. I want you to know, those of you that are listening right now, that's God's heart to you. Listen, Paul says, grace to you and peace to you from God our Father and from Yeshua HaMashiach. That's how God feels about you, beloved. Grace towards you and peace towards you through Yeshua. You don't have to be afraid of him, beloved. He's coming right now to you as you're watching as your friend. Jesus died for your sin. And now God is reaching out to you. He's looking past your sin because Jesus died for it. And he's coming to you in love, and he's coming to you in friendship, and he's coming to you in fellowship. And he's coming into your room right now and he's saying, grace to you and peace. Do not be afraid. I love you. And so Paul begins by putting God's people at ease so they can receive from the heart of God. Some of you are having a hard time receiving from the Lord because you think God's mad at you. You think God's rejected you. You think God doesn't love you. You feel condemned. But beloved, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. If you have truly turned your life over to Jesus, if you've repented and are in the process of repenting, and what I mean by that, beloved, we don't become perfect at once. Paul said not that he'd attained it or that he had become perfect, but that he kept on pressing on. If you're truly seeking to love the Lord, if you're truly seeking to live for the Lord, if you're really seeking him, if your heart is crying out to him, God, I want to be right with you. I want to live for you. I don't want to sin against you. If you're trapped in a sin, you're saying, God, deliver me, deliver me, deliver me. You're crying out to him day and night to deliver you. I want you to know, beloved, God loves you, and he's saying to you, grace to you, my child, and peace to you. And he's at work in your life, beloved, both to will and to do according to his own good pleasure. Every one of Paul's letters begins the same way. Grace to you and peace to you from God our Father and from Yeshua HaMashiach. Just be at peace. God's with you. God's there for you. God loves you. And God wants to be with you. Paul continues on and he says in verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father of Yeshua HaMashiach. And we begin our Hebrew prayers by saying, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, which means, blessed art thou, O Lord, our God. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, King of the universe. This is what Paul is doing here. Blessed be the God and Father of Yeshua HaMashiach. It's a very Jewish blessing. Even as we begin the prayer, Baruch atah Adonai, blessed art thou, O Lord. What's Paul doing? He's saying, blessed be the God and Father of Yeshua the Messiah. So he's beginning the book of Ephesians, beloved, in a very traditional Jewish way. He continues on there and he says, blessed be the God and Father of Yeshua HaMashiach, and get this now, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. First, he says of the Lord that he's blessed. He says, blessed be the God and Father. So, but first of all, he's saying that God is the blessed one. God is the blessed one. In other words, he is the one that is blessed. And so Paul was giving back to him that praise, blessed, because God's the only blessed one. And if you and I want to be blessed, we have to be blessed from the one that has the power to bless us, and that is the blessed one, the God and Father of Yeshua HaMashiach. So with that in mind, let me read it again. Paul said, blessed be the God and Father of Yeshua HaMashiach, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Messiah. And so we're going to see that we've been raised with Messiah and seated with him in the heavenly places. Listen, the scripture tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added unto us. In other words, the Father is saying, if you seek me first, the blessed one, if you seek first the one that has the power to bless you, he's going to bless you because he's the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now, beloved, the blessing may not come to you in the way you think it's going to come. Some people are looking to become, you know, really wealthy. But you know what? God hasn't called us to a mountain of money. He's called us to Mount Sinai. He's called us, beloved, to himself. You'll be blessed, though, beyond your wildest belief, beloved, when you're blessed by the Blessed One. You might not experience it fully in this world. None of us will. But, beloved, the Bible tells us, eye is not seen, and ear is not heard, and neither has it ever even entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. So listen to this again. Blessed be the God and Father, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Blessed be the God and Father of Yeshua Mashiach, who has blessed us, beloved, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. What type of a blessing do we have? A spiritual blessing. But beloved, some people are looking to the Lord not for a spiritual blessing. They're looking to the Lord, beloved, for worldly blessings. Listen, don't use God to fulfill the American dream. Seek God, beloved, for his own presence. He said to Abraham, I am your exceedingly great reward. And so the blessing that we have, beloved, it's a heavenly blessing. It's a spiritual blessing. It's love, it's power, it's joy, it's peace, it's self-control. It's being in victory in the spirit realm. And beloved, we have these things, and it's going to become more evident to you as we proceed through this study in the book of Ephesians. I'm continuing on now in the fourth verse. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Let me read the verses together now. Blessed be the God and Father of Yeshua Mashiach, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Messiah. Get this now. Just as he chose us, get it now, who did he choose? If you know him, beloved, if you love him, who did he choose? He chose, listen now, you. Listen, God chose you. Let me say it again. Let me say it again. God chose you. Just as he chose us in him, verse 4, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Do you know what an awesome blessing that is, Yedidim, beloved ones, to understand that God chose you? Listen, you didn't choose him. He chose you. Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Jesus also said, if you were of the world would love you. But because I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. You need to understand, beloved, that God chose you. You didn't choose him. It wasn't your initiative, beloved, that brought you into a salvation experience. It was God's initiative. First by sending his son, but then by drawing you to himself through the Holy Spirit, beloved, and through divine providence. When you understand that God chose you before the foundation of the world to be his, beloved, that will revolutionize your life and it will become the foundation of much of your Christian doctrine. Listen to what Paul said. Blessed be the God and Father of Yeshua Mashiach, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Listen now, just as he chose you, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, you may say to yourself, well, he chose me, but I chose him. No, he chose you. Jesus specifically said, you did not choose me. Did you know that Jesus said that? Look at the scripture reference on the bottom of your screen and look it up. Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. You did not choose him. He chose you. Hallelujah and amen. And when did he choose you, beloved? Before the foundation of the world. Not by deeds of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. Let's continue on. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Listen to the next verse now, Ephesians 1:5. Listen to this. He chose you. Now verse 5 says, he predestinated us to adoption as sons through Yeshua Mashiach to himself according to the kind intention of his will. Now, sometimes when you bring up predestination, people say, I don't believe in predestination. Let me tell you, if you accept the Bible, you believe in predestination because predestination is in the Bible. Get your Bible out, beloved, and look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 5. And this is not the only place that the Holy Spirit speaks about predestination in the Bible. Read it for yourself, Ephesians 1, 5. He predestinated us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. Paul said he chose you in him before the foundation of the world. And he predestinated you to adoption as a son. Isn't that an awesome thing? That is something, beloved, to get excited about. When you realize your salvation rests in God. You didn't contribute anything to it. God saved you. You had to yield, beloved, but man is made willing in the day of God's power. See, the Bible tells us, we're going to see in a second, that we were dead in our transgressions and sins. We didn't have the ability to respond spiritually, but God saved you, beloved. He made you alive in Messiah through a sovereign act of his will. And if you'll bear with me on this and stick with me on this over the next several weeks, I think you'll find, beloved, you'll find it so powerful and so anointed. And if you'll receive it, it will bless you. Because when you know that God chose you, beloved, when you know that it wasn't you that chose him, but that it was he that chose you, I'm telling you, that will give you such a love for God. That will give you such a zeal for God. That'll make you so excited about being Jesus's beloved. And you'll be willing to bear the reproach of being rejected when you witness for him, because you'll know what a privilege it is, beloved, to be chosen by him. And Jesus said, if you were chosen by me, he said, you're going to bear the same thing that I bore. Jesus said, if you're of the world would love you. But because I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. We lift up the name of Jesus today. Hallelujah and amen. I'm going to read that verse again. He predestinated us to adoption. Now let's think about that word predestinated. Of course, the meaning of the word is fairly obvious. It means that God determined our destination in advance. He chose us before the foundation of the world, and then he determined, beloved, what our destiny was in advance. And the destiny that he predetermined, beloved, is that we would be his. He predestinated us, Ephesians 1:5, to adoption as sons. So get it now. He chose you before you were born, and he predetermined, beloved, that he's going to adopt you as a son. Now, some people say, well, the reason that the Lord chose me was because he knew that I would choose him. But beloved, that negates the scriptures. That's not what Paul is saying. In fact, if we go to the book of Romans now, chapter number 8, I want to show you a scripture that many people will use to try to refute what I'm teaching here. Romans chapter number 8. Beloved, the early reformers believed this. Beloved, the reformers of the Protestant Reformation, they taught this, they believed that when man started getting prideful in his own accomplishments, he began to want to put himself in control of his own destiny. And so he began to reject that which is clearly revealed in Scripture. Now, I'm teaching that God chose us in him before the foundation of the world. I just got done reading the Scripture. I didn't say it. The Scripture said it. And that he predestinated us to adoption as sons. I didn't say it. The Scripture said it. But some people will say the reason that he chose me was because he foreknew that I would choose him. And because God foreknew, they say, that I would choose him, he chose me. Making God's choice of them determined by their choice of him. But remember, Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Now, let me tell you where people get this concept from, that they were chosen by God because they chose him first, and because God knew in advance that they would choose him, that God chose them. In other words, that God's choice of them was determined by their choice of him. Let me read the scripture that they use to get this concept from. I'm reading from the book of Romans, chapter number 8, beginning in verse number 29. For whom he foreknew, and this is where they get it from, the word foreknew. They say, God foreknew that I would choose him. And because God foreknew that I would choose him, they say, he chose me. And this is where they get it from. For whom he foreknew, he also predestinated. There's that word predestinate again. Remember, you can't say the rabbi's teaching predestination and turn me off, because, beloved, I'm just reading what the Bible says. The Bible uses the word predestination. The Bible uses the word choosing. So don't reject me, because if you reject me, beloved, I'm just reading what the Word of God says to you. Here we go again. Verse 29, Romans chapter 8. For whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to become conformed to the image of his son. There's that same language again. Predestinated to become conformed to the image of his son. Ephesians, predestinated, right, to the adoption of sons. For whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestinated, these he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. But here's what you need to understand. When Paul says here, whom he foreknew, he predestinated, Romans 8:29. Paul's not saying he foreknew that we would choose him. Paul's saying he foreknew us. There's a big difference. Paul's not saying God foreknew that you would choose him. That's not what the scripture says at all there in Romans 8:29. Rather, what Paul's saying is God foreknew you. He foreloved you. He loved you and chose you before the foundation of the world. He foreknew you before the foundation of the world and already planned it in advance that you were going to be an object, beloved, of his mercy, that he was going to adopt and bring to himself as a son. And so you see this concept that God chose us because he foreknew that we would choose him. The Bible doesn't teach that. Not at all. The Bible doesn't teach that God chooses one over another because he would know what they would do. Rather, the Bible teaches that God is sovereign, beloved, and he does what he wants to do. That's why Paul says in Romans 9, you will say to me then, there must be injustice with God if God chooses some. But Paul answers back, who are you, O man, that answers back to God? Doesn't the potter have the right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honor and one for dishonor? And Paul teaches this very, very strongly. So let me back up again. We're in the book of Ephesians. We're in the very beginning of the book of Ephesians. Paul begins his book by blessing the Father, Baruch Atah Adonai. And then he speaks about how God the Father, the blessed one, the one that has the power to bless, that he has blessed us, those that are his. He's writing to believers. He's writing to the church at Ephesus that the blessed one has chosen us before the foundation of the world and that he predestinated us to adoption as sons. Now, as we look at the words of Jesus, what is very plain is that Jesus did not choose everybody. Jesus, for example, in John chapter 6, began to talk about his life, and he began to talk about who he was, and they began to grumble against him. And Jesus said, don't grumble among yourself. No one can come to me, Jesus said, unless it's been granted from the Father. So as we turn to the Gospel of John chapter 6, we read these words. Jesus said in verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. But then he says in verse 37, all that the Father gives me shall come to me. What did Paul say in Ephesians chapter 1? Blessed be the God and Father of Yeshua HaMashiach that has blessed us and chose us before the foundation of the world. Now in John 6, verse 37, Jesus said, all that the Father gives me shall come to me. So there were these that were grumbling against him. These that were rejecting him, Jesus said, you know, I know that you don't believe, but then he said in verse 37, but all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. He continues in verse 39, and this is the will of him that sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing. In John 10, Jesus said to those that were not believing, you believe not, he said, because you're not my sheep. But Jesus said, I know my sheep, my Father has given them to me. Now, some of you might not like this, but I challenge you to order the teaching and look up the scripture references that I'm sharing with you for yourself, because all I'm doing is I'm sharing what Jesus said. Jesus continues in John chapter 6, they're not believing in him. They say in verse 42, they were saying, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I've come down out of heaven? Jesus answered, listen. Jesus answered, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless it has been granted from the Father, unless my Father draws him. Jesus says in verse 43, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. He continues on. And he begins to say, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And this was too much. They couldn't handle it anymore. So I'm reading now in verse number 54. Yeshua says, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. And then he continues on, and these things he said in verse number 59 in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Once again, notice the Jewish thing. Where is he teaching this? He's teaching this in the synagogue in Capernaum, very Jewish. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, when they heard him saying, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, they couldn't handle it. It sounded like grotesque to them. It was unkosher. So it says in verse 60, many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? Jesus in verse 61, but Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled, said to him, does this cause you to stumble? And then he said, what if you should behold? I'm just going to skip that and get right to the point. Jesus said this, but there are some of you in verse number 64 who do not believe. And in verse 65, he says this, for this reason I said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted from the Father. So Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of Yeshua Mashiach, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world and predestinated us to adoption. Do you know in John 17, beloved, when Jesus is praying what we call the high priestly prayer, listen what Jesus said in verse number 6. Jesus said, I manifested, he's speaking to the Father. He said, I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gave me out of the world. So Jesus manifested himself to the ones that the Father gave him. He didn't manifest himself to everybody. Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and of earth, that you revealed these to the babes, but hid them from the wise and prudent. So Jesus says, I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gave me out of the world. And in verse number 9 of John 17, listen to this striking statement. Jesus said, I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom thou hast given me. Beloved, if you know Jesus, it's because he chose you before the foundation of the world. He pre-loved you, beloved, and he planned in advance that he was going to save you and bring you to himself. Your salvation, beloved, rests on the solid anchor and the solid foundation of the sovereignty of God. Jesus said, all the Father gives me will come to me. And he said, of all the sheep that the Father has given me in John 10, I will lose none. When you understand, beloved, that God chose you before the foundation of the world, that that's how much the Father loves you, I'm going to tell you, you're going to get on fire for Jesus. You're not going to care if you're rejected. You're just going to be so blessed that you're his. You're going to love him so much, beloved. So I want you to continue to join me each and every week. Tell a friend, God's going to do something radical and life-changing for you, life-changing. God bless you and shalom. I hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast. I want you to know, beloved ones, when you make a financial gift to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, your gift is changing lives. Whether it's through broadcasting the gospel through Discovering the Jewish Jesus around the globe, or whether it's by my being on the ground in gospel crusades like this, it's because of your dollars, beloved, that I'm here and that I'm able to preach the gospel and change people's lives. You see, where I go, you go. You go with me wherever I go, whether it's on television or on the ground. I want to ask you, if you're sensing King Jesus touching your heart right now, saying to you, this is an authentic ministry, Rabbi Schneider is making a difference for me, and you sense him leading you to make a financial gift to this ministry for his glory, do it immediately, beloved. And I promise you this, when you stand before him, you'll be blessed and rewarded for your financial sacrifice to the glory of God. God bless you, and thank you. Shalom.